Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that will hopefully make you smile, laugh, and freak out inside. I'm Sean.
And I'm Carrie. Sean's an ex-cop who does happier things now.
That's for sure. And Carrie's a New York Times and internationally best-selling children's book novelist. We live in Down East Maine, and our podcast is a little funky. We start off with a random thought we recorded in bed, or the kitchen, or the car, and then we give a writing tip and a dog tip for life because our dogs are wise and smart and like to be included.
We're not hoity-toity. We're not all trash talk, although we try. We're just us. So thanks for joining us. Please like, subscribe, and be cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Dogs are smarter than people. And we begin with a random thought.
Let's do it, baby.
Yeah. Hey, it's random thought in bed.
You look so excited.
That's my natural state in bed, blasé.
Yeah.
We just watched this show because we're locked down and the coronavirus and we have nothing to do thing, right? And we watched a show called, what was it? Bigfoot is Real?
Yes, that's exactly what I think what it was called.
It really should have been called Bunch of White Guys in the South Play with Guns.
Yeah.
Pretty much. For Bigfoot.
Because yet again, nobody has found Bigfoot.
No.
No.
What else do people never find?
Oh, all those things. Mothman.
Belly buttons.
Belly buttons? Like, you just find belly buttons on the street?
Yeah. Have you ever heard about the guy who just, like, finds golf balls everywhere?
No.
Yeah, there's like this guy, and he's like, once you start looking for golf balls, you see them everywhere. And he just like collects them.
Really?
Yeah. And I was thinking about that, and I found a golf ball when I was running the other day. It was bright yellow. It was in the middle of Park Street.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
The man is right. That was so weird.
Well, they are everywhere.
Why?
Especially if there's a golf course anywhere near you.
But there was none.
A lot of golfers around here because of Kiva. It's not near you in proximity. Nobody's going to hit it from Kiva Valley Golf Course to Park Street. But I think that lends itself to people being like just whacking balls around sometimes. You know what I mean?
Why do people play golf?
Why?
Yeah, man.
Well, it's a social game, for one thing. Usually play with two or more people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also hear that it's very, very addictive, I think, in a challenging way.
Like you're always trying to do your personal best.
Right. You know, kind of like running or whatever.
A lot of the men in my mom's family played golf.
And it's also, a brown-nosing technique or whatever. Mm. For certain people, probably. I don't know.
Maybe it's just nice because you don't have to be tall.
Definitely not.
It's like golf and jockeys, and it's all that there is for us short people and gymnastics.
Yeah. You don't have to be tall or a friggin' machine like a football player.
Yeah. Like, there's not a lot for us, yet I can't play golf because I have no depth perception.
Who's us?
Shorties. Us shorties, not you, Captain Tolly Pants.
Well, you know. I'm tall, but I'm not very athletic.
You're athletic. You just hated coaches, and you had a hard time with authority, so you never played any team sports.
That's true. That's all true.
He was too busy being a rebel.
A rebel?
Rebel reading The Hobbit. That was Sean. Why did you hate your coach? I can't remember.
No, I think it was just the whole thing. I hated being told what to do, you know what I mean? Like, I'll better myself in my own way. Not using your stupid methods.
I thought there was like some baseball coach you hated or something when you were little.
Yeah. I was like nine. That's what reminded me on team sports when I first outed.
Oh, what was it? What did
I
you
don't
do?
Remember.
Dude.
He just wasn't a good coach, I don't think. He was one of those more aggressive not really a kind, nurturing coach, which is, you know, I needed everybody as a winner. T-ball, probably, to start with. I don't know.
Did anybody in your family play sports?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure doesn't mean you know.
I think my uncle did, my uncle Bill. Basketball, I think, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Uncle Bill's pretty short.
Yeah, he's not super tall. Yeah. Like, you know, you don't have to be that tall. We talk about it all the time. From your high school.
That's because there was no tall people in my high school, but you grew up in Florida. I imagine people are taller in Florida.
You would think so.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
My high school was, when I was going to high school, my football team had like the longest high school losing streak, and it was featured on ESPN.
For that reason?
Yeah.
For that stat?
Because we were that bad. You'd like go to the football team and you'd be like, maybe they'll score once. Like, you'd be hoping.
Well, at least they were the best at something.
They were the best at being the worst.
That's crazy.
I was thinking about cheers the other day and how like there's the be aggressive cheer. We talked about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That be aggressive. Be aggressive. And I thought liberals should start having cheers to try to like make themselves feel better. And it could be progressive. Be progressive.
That's really funny, but that's just not the image we need right now.
Why not, man?
Talking about snowflake and all that kind of stuff.
Be progressive. Be progressive. Be. No?
Hey, baby. Try it. Start a Facebook page off.
Liberal cheers?
Yeah.
I feel like liberals don't even like cheerleaders. Do they?
I don't know
either.
That's way too in-depth for political partisanship for my brain.
It's also too late for me to think about.
Too late?
Yeah.
I know you gotta stop keeping me up so late, though.
Sean, you know what you did this week?
It's like 1 a.m. What?
You bought Swedish fish.
I know, I've been eating the heck out of
it. Where did that come from? I've never known. It was from my trip to.
Nope, I just. Remember I found that little bag of jelly beans from Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, that made me decide I wanted some chewy candy.
Jelly beans. Why didn't you eat the jelly beans from Christmas?
I did.
Oh my god, you did? The whole bag?
The day after. It was a tiny little bag.
Dude, it was a whole bag.
It wasn't a bag of jelly. Don't mislead these people. It was a little sleeve like this.
Okay, you know how people are eating more in the coronavirus?
Are they?
That's happening here.
Oh, yeah.
Sean also got a mega pack of Pringles. Or mega tube or whatever.
I got three of those.
Got three. It's so full of chemicals.
Oh, I mean a lot of chemicals in the last 2 days.
That's not healthy.
Only well-preserved. It's like alive and balmy.
No.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could make health cheers, like P-R-I-N-G-L-E-S.
That doesn't work.
All right. broccoli. Eat your broccoli.
Dude, I'm also eating quite healthy. I'm offsetting the junk with the
gift. Dude, you ate a whole bag of jelly beans.
It was like a cup.
Oh my god, you're gonna like poop out jelly beans.
Oh, there you go. Good lord. It's like I pooped a candy cane this morning.
Oh, the poor little podcast has devolved.
You did it.
I'm sorry, people. I'm so sorry.
Writing tip of the pod.
We promise we're not going to talk about poop or,
Oh, no, we don't make that promise. Come on.
Getting thick in the time of COVID. Instead, we're going to be helpful now. Yay!
We're going to try.
All right, so this podcast is basically about talking heads and chilling out and how to imagine yourself in a scene. And this is a writing exercise that we're going to tell you how to do, but you can also do this for your life to chill out and calm down and quash your virus anxieties a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can like, tweak it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, because I edit and help people with their books, I'll be reading their scenes, and it'll be like two characters talking, kind of like this podcast, right? And I'll only have a vaguely general idea about where they are, kind of like this podcast.
In the conversation?
Yeah. Like setting. In the setting, right? Okay. But also in the conversation, if it's this podcast. And then maybe sometimes.
I've seen someone work you with it.
I mean, sometimes I don't have an idea at all, right? Like, I'll be like, there's just these two heads talking. And they're just like floating, right?
Yeah.
So we call this evil beast the talking head syndrome.
Cue scary music here. I don't have any. I was trying to remember a talking head song.
Oh.
Burning down the house. Is that one? Yeah.
All right. So what is talking head syndrome?
Well, Sean, let me tell you, Carrie.
All right, Sean.
It's where there's a lot of dialogue going on, but there's no actual anchor for the characters. It's like they're floating in space babbling at each other.
Like
us. That sounds like around here sometimes. There's no physical world placement. So by that, do you mean like, I don't know, really, literally, I don't know where they are.
Like, yeah, you'll be like, it'll be like, Carrie walked down. Carrie walked over to Sean.
Yeah.
Carrie said this. Sean said this. Carrie said this. Sean said this. And you'll be like, what? And that'll be the beginning of the chapter or something, or the beginning of the scene. You'll just be like, oh, what? They're talking, but where are they?
I gotcha.
You know what I mean? So this happens a lot, and it's because a lot of us writers really hear our scenes rather than see our scenes or live in our scenes, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Some people don't imagine as they write. Like, they don't see the people that are talking, standing, or sitting there. Or laying in bed or whatever they're doing.
No.
Really?
They will hear it instead of seeing it.
Wow, actually. That's crazy. It's like that How You Imagine Things podcast we did a while back.
Yeah, kind of.
Because I always have that, like, it's like, you know, cinematic screenplay going on at the same time. Yeah,
that's how your brain works, but not everybody's brain works like that.
Sweet.
So we sometimes forget to get those anchors and those placements in there if we don't imagine like Sean does.
Right.
So here's an exercise to help. So to do this exercise, you have to step away from your keyboard for a second and stand up. And we know that's like really hard because writers are all about sitting down and putting their butts in the chair and getting the work done, right?
You know, you might even have to get up out of the bed or off the couch.
No. What? I know. All right, so just give yourself 5 minutes and work your leg muscles and stand up in a quiet place, preferably not in Starbucks or anything because people will look at you weird. Now close your eyes and think about your scene where there are talking heads.
Uh-huh.
All right, so Sean, you start.
Okay, so you want to visualize these things, right? Like smell.
Yes.
There you are with your characters. Maybe you can even imagine yourself as one of the characters. Possess them like they're Zach Baggins or Baggins, however it is. And you're filming Ghost Adventures. Inhale. Wear your breathing mask if you're allergic to dust like Zach is. What kind of smells are you smelling? Remember those smells.
Now sound. You're still there when the character is standing in the setting, right? What do you hear? Is it a ghost knocking on the wall? I feel like we should just continue with the ghost adventure thing. Like, remember those noises, right?
Yeah, I've got a better one. I'll feel switch.
Okay.
To imagery.
Okay, yeah.
No, it's not safe for work. Oh. Touch. Your characters don't stay completely still for the whole scene, do they? Not if they're human. Most people move when they talk.
Yeah, Sean does.
I was going to call you up.
I was going to call you.
Have them move, even if it's the fidget. That's me. Let them touch things. Let them swing their arms wildly through the air like Carrie. What do those things feel like? Are they hot?
Are they hot? I don't know. Are they
I don't know. Are they textured? Hands aren't the only things that touch. Does their hair sweep over something? Does their foot kick against the table? Do their shoulders lean against the rough wood of the wall?
Ooh, nice shot. Taste. What does it feel like inside their mouth? Dry? Coppery? Do they need to brush their teeth? Please make them floss. Everyone should floss. right?
Yeah. Sight.
Oh, sight.
This is the fallback for most writers, and it can have some issues. We want to be able to visualize the setting and where things are happening, but we don't need the buffer of the character seeing what's happening. There are a lot of stories where it says, Sean looked over and saw the cat dangling from the curtain.
Don't pad the details with distancing words. Don't tell us that Sean's looking. Just have a see instead, right?
The cat dangled from the curtain. It's so much more powerful.
So much more powerful. Now, movement. Have the characters move. Like, give them actions and objective correlatives to their emotional state, right?
Yeah.
And then the next step is just incorporating what you imagined for tasting, smelling, hearing, seeing, and movement into the actual scene. You have to have your characters' perceptions of the outside world and setting incorporated into that dialogue and action. Don't be afraid to dig deeper. So basically, the writing tip of the pod is...
Don't be full of talking heads. Write scenes that come alive, that make your reader feel as if they're actually there with the speakers.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Right. Dog tip for life.
Yay.
So Gabby gave us this one this week. And she said, be in the moment, man, and actually notice things. And Gabby takes that to an extreme. She'll notice things that aren't even there sometimes.
Just like a rebel.
Bark at things that don't exist. Like we'll make a thud on the floor and she'll run to the door and think it's the mailman. But her advice is real.
Yeah.
Because if you want to write live scenes like that, you got to start paying attention to how people communicate, right?
Right.
If you want to have realistic scenes.
Yeah. And you want to pay attention to the details around you so you can use them in your story, right?
Yeah.
You want to, like, really ponder them so you can make, like, the snow bee a symbol for death or...
The snow bee? What's a snow bee?
Snow. The snow.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
I just realized, like, we're, like, my football team in high school. We're, like, famous for being losers.
We're not. That's not funny.
That's because you're a rebel for reading The Hobbit.
Well, I probably didn't even tell anybody outside my family.
Anyway, oh, geez, that's so sad. That's so sad. You shouldn't be afraid of reading.
I wasn't afraid of reading.
I mean, ashamed.
I wasn't ashamed. I mean, not of reading. It was a bookworm. It was the material.
Fantasy is good for you.
I read all the time. I quickly grew out of fantasy.
Now he just lives out his fantasies.
That's right. Do you want to hear me do a dialogue scene with people actually moving? No, you know. It's too...
Is that going to be not safe for work, too?
Oh, yeah. It'll be
okay, then definitely.
But it's really good. But I think, what if people have trouble doing that, though? They should probably practice, huh?
They should practice.
And if you're going to practice, you should probably start with something that you like.
All right, so like
subject matter.
So like right now, let's say Sean said I should do that scene. Sean said, if we were writing it, Sean said I should do that scene, right?
What scene?
Honey, we're just giving an example.
Oh, all right, keep talking.
Maybe all right, Sean said, keep talking. Maybe I'll understand. Carrie, as he twitched a muscle in his eye, looking glaringly at Carrie. Moved slightly away in her big chair in the office. Sean's chair creaked as he shifted his weight uncomfortably, the padding starting to fall out in the corner because from use. Their marriage had gone on a long time. What do you mean? Carrie said. The end. So see how that's different than Sean just saying his random sentence? There, I made it up.
It's a really good one, too, because you question your own dialogue within your own dialogue. So
yeah, I do.
That's deep.
I know, that's the way it is for this
person. We can tell you're a pro. But anyways, I think we've said this before, or yeah. The dogs have. Try to live in the moment and notice things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretend like you have a photographic memory, and you have to see everything in order to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
pay attention to this world while we have it.
That's good advice. I just came up with that.
I like it.
I like it too.
You're just brilliant, bitch.
Thanks, love.
You know why?
You're brilliant. Because I married you?
No.
Oh!
Okay. Reason number two. But because you read a lot of books, because you were a rebel reading The Hobbit.
That's right.
Yay. Books make you smart.
They do. All right, baby girl. Let's thank these people for giving us a little bit of their time.
Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time.
I really hope they enjoyed
me.
Our podcast.
We did.
Maybe we always do. So let's give a little shout out to the music that we use. We've clipped and shortened it for the podcast, and it's made available through the Creative Commons license. It's awesome music. And the artist is Broke for Free, and the song is Night Owl.
You can find us and our podcast notes on Apple Music, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and more. Just Google Dogs Are Smarter Than People, then like and subscribe. And all the notes are also on my blog, carriejonesbooks.blog.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Big news, girl.
Big news, boy.
What is it?
I just published a super cool adult novel.
Adult novel?
Yeah, that's so grown up, isn't it?
Yeah.
That means I can have naughty phrases in it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you can order it on Amazon or anywhere, I think. So please, please order it. And
what's it called?
Oh, gosh. It's called The Places We Hide. And it's set in Maine. And it's about a reporter and single mom.
Yeah.
Whose life is in jeopardy because of a serial killer. And she falls in love with a big cop.
Crazy.
It is not autobiographical.
Never happens in real life.
Never happens in real life. Stop it. We also have a book out with Steve Waddell. It's called In the Woods. It was a buzz book for Publishers Weekly this summer. And it's creepy and scary. And it might have a Bigfoot in it, but it might not. And it's called In the Woods. There. But
that's just funny.
You just laughing at me.
It might have a Bigfoot. It might not.
That's part of the mystery. It's about a girl who goes to
exist yet.
Pshaw. You speak sacrilege.
Oh, wait. You got a picture of him when you were on vacation.
I did.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyways, In the Woods is out. And it's creepy and scary. And it's about a girl from Maine who goes with her dad, who's sort of like a Doctor Who cryptozoologist mashup.
Yeah.
And they hear about a potential Bigfoot sighting in Oklahoma. And so on summer break, they go there and she meets a really cute boy and a really uncute monster.
Did they find Bigfoot at Sonic?
No. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thanks. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share and tell all your friends and love each other.
Love each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.